It's Central Time. I'm Jake Carlisle-Larson.
And I'm Chris Molina. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, despite dairy farms falling on tough times, the big county dairy breakfasts continue in Wisconsin. We'll look at why they're such an important part of the farming community.
First, if you've ever felt like you're spacing out a bunch or just not feeling very creative, perhaps your attention span is playing a role.
There's a lot these days competing for our attention, not least of which are our phones. And even when we're not looking down at them, we're often checked out of the habits that help us spark creativity, inspiration, and even joy.
Our next guest says it's time to slow down and notice the world around us. Rob Walker is the author of The Art of Noticing. Rob is a journalist and columnist who covers a variety of subjects from design, tech, business, and the arts. He's also an advice columnist for lifehacker.com. Rob, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So your book is titled The Art of Noticing, 131 Ways to Spark Creativity, Find Inspiration, and Discover Joy in the Everyday. From your perspective, what exactly aren't we noticing?
Well, I mean, I think it's the small things, right? I think you don't have to spend too much time, convincing people that we're in this moment of kind of just nonstop cultural distraction. And, you know, you mentioned technology at the top, and that's the first thing that people about is, oh, my phone is ringing all the time. But it's really kind of human nature to want to be paying attention to what everyone else is paying attention to, and technology just makes that much easier now to know what the trending topics are and to zero on that, which takes you out of the present moment and maybe noticing the small things that no one else is paying attention to and finding what's interesting and compelling to you about that.
Rob, we're going to go ahead and reconnect our phone connection with you because we're having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. We want to make sure that we hear everything that you have to say. So I'm going to ask our call screener just to reconnect with you. And while we're doing that, listeners, we're going to ask you for your perspective on this. Do you find yourself getting distracted in day-to-day life? How do you make time just to slow down and appreciate the details in the world around you? Have you noticed your friends, family, maybe yourself just spending too much time staring at your phone? And what do you doing about it? We're going to take your calls at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We know we're saying, hey, you know, put the phones down, appreciate the world around you, and we're asking you to call in. But at least you won't be texting. You won't be distracted. It'll just be up to your face. And, you know, one of the tips that Rob shares in his book is that, you know, spend some time just sitting and looking at a piece of art and spend more time than you would think doing it. And you'll notice details that, you know, perhaps you didn't see before. So maybe if there's a really sweet picture in your house or a great window, spend some time looking out of that while you give us a call.
And we are back with Rob Walker. He is the author of The Art of Noticing. He's also an advice columnist for lifehacker.com. Rob, thanks for rolling with us. And before we reconnected, we were talking about just the world around us and why noticing is important. And, you know, from your perspective, you know, what was the spark, the inspiration that, you know, went off in your head that said, you know what, I really want to put pen to paper and share this with the world?
Sure. So it's a great question because it kind of goes to the way that I answer this in general, is that I started out being more interested in the problem, basically, and thought that I was going to, I spent a couple of years thinking about a book about, like, oh, all the things we're missing out on in kind of a negative way. And I was going to have sort of 10 pages at the end saying, and here are some suggestions for little exercises you can do that will help bring a positive sense of noticing back into your life. And I finally realized I didn't want to write the first 290 pages. I just want to write the last. So I made it the whole book. That's why there's 131 of these kind of exercises or prompts or provocations, just small things, because I really do want to position this not as all the things you're missing out on, but rather as all the things you can discover if you just add this kind of practice to your daily existence. I'm not anti-technology. I'm very frustrated by the prescriptions that sort of involve, oh, you need a digital detox, you need to throw your phone away, you need to delete all these apps. No one's really going to do any of those things. It's not really very helpful to suggest that. But instead, if you can do things like, on your way to work, notice something new every day. Just make it a game. It's a simple game. It adds to your life. It doesn't take anything away from anything. And it adds some texture. Who knows what you'll discover? It's mind-opening. It's kind of, you know, we need these sort of mindful breaks from being assaulted by everyone else's desires on our attention. So it's that kind of approach that led me to write the book.
Rob, I think the moment that I really connected with your book is when you were talking about just looking for, you know, something a little bit different. And for you, you kind of got started with looking at security cameras. And, you know, so my experience was, I bought a house a couple of years ago. And before that, I don't think I ever really looked at people's roofs. And now, like, being a homeowner and living in constant fear that the roof is going to fall in or something's going to happen to it, I'm looking at everybody's roof. And so I kind of get where you're coming from. But talk about where this idea came from to look for security cameras in particular.
Sure. The roof thing sounds a little stressful to me, if I may say so. But
I probably need something else.
The security camera thing came about because of a trip I was taking to San Francisco, a city I like a lot, but I've been to a lot. And I was going to not have time to do any real sightseeing. And I just wanted to give myself basically an assignment, a looking assignment. Just look at something. And my only parameter was look for something that no one wants you to look for, right? Because so much of your time is spent reacting to people trying to capture your attention. And I picked security cameras for no real reason, but it ended up being this really fun game to spot them everywhere. Notice the different types, notice how they're used. In some situations, they sort of want to call attention to themselves, and some situations, they're kind of almost disguised. And I can tell you that now that I've been out with the book, I still look for security cameras, and now I get people emailing me pictures of security cameras all the time.
Which is what I'm sure you really wanted in the first place.
I don't need any more of those, but thank you for everyone. But anyway, it was an early example of how you can kind of just gamify the everyday world, and it changes your perspective, and it gives you sort of a different, like, sort of shift in how you're looking at the world that has kind of weird, unexpected payoffs.
So you're talking about that shift in perspective by noticing just one thing and then seeing it kind of everywhere around you. How has that shift, I guess, shifted into other parts of your life?
Well, so as a journalist, and I write about this, so I've ended up writing a number of things about security cameras. But, you know, you're always looking for, look, this is, so I also teach a little bit of design, and this is a core competency of designers is noticing things that other people have overlooked, right? So that they can spot a problem or see an opportunity. And if you think about it, that general approach is applicable in many professions where you want to be the one who, let's say you're being an entrepreneur, let's say you're being a manager, a coach, you're always looking for that one differentiating thing that everyone else has missed. And you can never get to that by following the pack. The whole point is to try to notice the thing that breaks from the pack. You know this as being connected to the world of journalism, that there's literally the term pack journalism that is the thing you don't want to be a part of. You want to be doing the one thing that that everyone else missed, but is that has the story and that's hidden in it that's going to make you stand out.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, we in the media spend so much time thinking about what's the next big idea? How can we push things even further? You know, what's the next thing? And then we stop and we miss the fact that the solution is often right there in front of us. And you point to several examples of successful people who really took advantage of that and have made a lot of money discovering something that was right in front of our faces all along. Can you share some of those success stories?
Well, some of the ones that I tend to mention, I mean, just to jump around a little bit, but obviously Warren Buffett's success is in, you know, he is not someone who chases the hot stock. He's the one who coldly analyzes the stuff that everyone else missed and has done all right by that strategy, I would say. But in sports, Billy Beane, the manager of the Oakland A's, sort of created, or the general manager, I guess, who was paid attention to these statistics that no one else was paying attention to. Rachel Carson invented the modern environmental movement by noticing, toxins that other people were not only ignoring, but actively trying to hide. Artists are really good at this. John Cage and Marcel Duchamp, among others, have found things, whether it was Duchamp with the signing a urinal and declaring it to be a work of art. Changing boundaries between what is worth our attention and what isn't, what is art and what isn't.
I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Nikki in Delavan. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
And what did you want to talk about?
Mine was more towards the nature aspect. I had moved in with my boyfriend about a year ago, and I noticed that he had a herd of chipmunks in his backyard. I just find them very cute. They're very fascinating. And I actually found myself leaving my phone on my charger every morning because they become kind of like my alarm clocks since they're kind of used to me seeing them now. And I found that there's like more than three of them, and I see them coming out of different corners out of our deck and out of the bushes and around the house. And I just found myself, again, spending more time just sitting outside or staring out my window, not only watching them, but I guess just taking in nature as itself and just realizing, you know, there's so many different things and animals on this planet that we still don't know a lot about. But if we just pay just a little bit of attention to them every day, you can find a lot.
Nikki, thank you so much for that call. And I related so hard to that because about 3 weeks ago, my wife and I bought a bird feeder and we hung it up on the front porch. And for the last 3 weeks, we have just been staring out the window watching birds. And I swear, 75% of the birds that land on this feeder, I could not tell you what kind of bird that is. And I feel like totally inadequate. So it sounds like this whole idea of like slowing down and learning more about the nature around us can actually really teach us something.
Yeah, I think it can teach us something, and I think it can also, I mean, what's great about that caller's story is like sort of giving yourself permission to just explore this thing that's happening around you and give yourself the break, because we all need that break. There's so much pressure right now to be up on everything and to be as productive as possible, and it can be a little disastrous when we devote so much time to being productive and efficient that we don't give ourselves these mental breaks. That's why so many people and so many companies are interested in mindfulness and meditation right now. Now, if you don't have time to actually start a mindfulness practice, which does take some effort, perhaps, you can just embrace these moments of, you know, I encourage people to a baby step is like, just go to a window in your house that you've, you know, walked past 3 million times and spend 5 minutes looking at what everything you can see, and then do the same thing the next day and note what changed. And learn to appreciate the power that these kind of small breaks from the hurly-burly can give you and how that can kind of recharge you. And maybe you'll discover, maybe you'll be like this caller and discover, you know, you may not get as lucky to discover like a thriving chipmunk community that you can now tune into, but I think that kind of thing is terrific.
We're talking to Rob Walker right now about his book, The Art of Noticing, which explores why taking time to pay attention helps us become more present and more creative.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you found it difficult to pay attention in your daily life? Have you found a solution that you'd like to share? How do you slow down and appreciate the world around you? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We'll continue this conversation in just a moment. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Chris Molina.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Right now, we continue our conversation with journalist Rob Walker about his new book, The Art of Noticing, 131 Ways to Spark Creativity, Find Inspiration, and Discover Joy in the Everyday.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you find yourself or your loved ones glued to your phones or other devices? How do you pull away? Do you make time in your day for reflection, for rejuvenation, or focus into your daily routine? We'd love to hear from you right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Rob, as you mentioned before, you're not asking for anyone to go on a digital detox, but one thing that you suggest that people can do is, okay, go to your favorite social media channels, read your feed, that's fine, but that's it. Don't contribute, don't comment, just read. What do you see as the benefit in that?
Yeah, well, I think I position that as it's analogous to the vow of silence that monks take. And I think sometimes, this isn't maybe for everybody, but we get a little too caught up in feeling that we need to express every single thing that occurs to us and sort of perform, and not, it's very similar to the way in conversation, a lot of people aren't really listening. They're just waiting for their turn to speak, and they're not really taking in what they're hearing. So it's a good exercise to try to have a little discipline from time to time and really try to understand, and especially try to understand points of view. I hate to delve into politics per se, but you know, maybe to understand points of view that are not your natural point of view, and to really try to devote time to quietly understanding where someone else is coming from.
And in that vein, you write in the book about listening selflessly, that not jumping mm-hmm. into the conversation and not needing to contribute your two cents is one of the greatest gifts you can give to another person. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. I think that we've all had the experience of having a conversation. Let's say you've been on a first date. Have you ever been on a first date?
I have, yes.
Has anyone ever been on a bad date? So the essence of a bad date is what? It's the other person didn't listen to you. Like, that's the constant thing. So if you can give someone it is a gift to really give attention to what another person is saying. And I have to say, I mentioned teaching. My students are the ones who got me thinking about this as an aspect of attention, because I give them an assignment every year to practice paying attention, to invent an exercise. And I noticed that some of them were giving a lot of exercises that had to do with other people, which wasn't necessarily what I was thinking about in the class, because it's a design class. So I was thinking about visuals and the built environment and so on. But I think they're really onto something, that one of the things that we neglect in our, you know, constantly paying attention to what's coming through on the phone is the people who are around us. And if you can give someone, if you can convince someone that you're really listening and give the signal and really listen to them, people have a lot to say, and they'll say interesting things to you as long as they think you're really paying attention.
We're talking right now with Rob Walker. He is the author of The Art of Noticing, and we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. And we'll go to the phones now. Kim is with us in Cross Plains. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What did you want to say, Kim?
Well, I wanted to suggest to your listeners that they should consider drumming with a regular Remo buffalo head drum. I just facilitated a drumming with 30 clinical people, doctors, psychologists. So this is catching on, and now there is research and proof that says everything that us drummers have known for decades, which is that it calms us down, it boosts the immune system, it lowers our stress. And after, I mean, you can spend anywhere from $30 for a simple buffalo head drum to $300, but it's a really nice, non-invasive way to have something, a tool, right away. I just used it the other day. I was all stressed out. I pulled over, I grabbed my drum, and I took 15 minutes, and I was a new girl.
Kim, thank you so much for that call. And I love that, because drumming seems like the perfect combination of making music and banging on things, which is a wonderful combination. Rob, how does music factor into what you're talking about here?
I think that this it's a good example of how we're kind of craving these breaks from the distractions around us. And the main music thing that I bring up is it has to do with sort of deep listening, but the most maybe ironic one is I recommend this famous composition called 4:33 by John Cage, which is actually 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence. And I recommend performing that, which anyone can do. You don't need a drum. You just have to be quiet for 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
Which is a lot longer than you would think, right?
It is a lot longer than you would think. And it's a nice exercise, but it's also, I actually do this in my home office on a regular basis because it's fun to just kind of listen to the sounds of the neighborhood. It's a nice centering break, a pause that kind of lets me refocus and recalibrate and just ignore all the stimulus for just 4 minutes and 33 seconds. And what the composer John Cage was trying to do was exactly this. He was drawing this line between, or making us question the line between, what is music, what is noise, what is silence. And instead of thinking of silence as the absence of something, think of it as an invitation to something and see if you can explore it. And you can do that anywhere where you have 4 minutes and 33 seconds. It's a nice break.
And speaking of recalibrating, we have Sarah on the phone in Madison. Hi, Sarah.
Yeah, I've recalibrated. I retired this winter, and I love my flower gardens and vegetable gardening. I just love it. But I never was caught up. I was always running behind, and I was always stressed. And this spring, I have enjoyed my gardening so much, just being laid back gardening, let it just happen. And I'm really enjoying it. And I have to laugh because the other day I was using my favorite wheelbarrow. It's very old and rusty, and unfortunately it's going to fall apart any day. And I just realized at some point that wheelbarrow had been used by my father's family on their, or my husband's family on their farm for three generations. And all of a sudden I was wandering off in thought, kind of respecting all the work that all these people did with this wheelbarrow.
Sarah, thank you so much for that that call. And yeah, that sort of epiphany that comes from doing something that does take attention and time, but also allows you to really, really focus.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have had that maybe any other way, right?
There's like two things there. One is the sort of discovery of the story within something, that there are so many stories around us that if we just stop and think about it, that we can kind of explore and learn and reflect on and feel good about, as this caller did. And also, the book actually ends on the note of the connection between taking, you know, she mentioned gardening, taking care of something and attention, and how those don't immediately seem like connected ideas, but if you think about it, they're completely intertwined, that we should really pay attention to what we care about and care about what we pay attention to. And just that simple thought can be really productive and centering and lead to good things.
And briefly, Rob, as we wrap up, leave us with one thing that we can do tonight. Perhaps we're going home to a partner or a friend or a family member. What's something we can do with someone at home that'll really just bring us closer together?
Oh, well, I think that here's one. I'm always, because a lot of people have children at home, children are kind of an inspiration in a lot of ways in terms of looking creatively at the world. Try, even if, whether you have kids or don't have kids, try to spend a little time experiencing your world as a child might, because while you may be jaded and you've seen it all, you know how if you've been around kids, they're excited by the most workaday things and turn everything into a game. Try to take some inspiration from a child tonight.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was columnist and journalist Rob Walker. We talked to him about his new book, The Art of Noticing.